Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
I have some follow-up.
Are we allowed to use that term?
I actually specifically we are, because I have ATP follow-up from this week, which is just that I realized there's a funny thing that happened to me, sort of, that I didn't... Well, the question is it funny or is it boring? But what I...
I'll be the judge of that.
Well, through a number of things. So this happened to me basically New Year's Day, and we pre-taped the upgradees for New Year's Day for the upgrade podcast. And so I ended up not kind of doing that podcast for a couple of weeks. And when we came back, there was other stuff going on. And I sort of never told this story that I thought was maybe an interesting story, but maybe not. And then Casey on ATP this week told a version of the same story, which made me think that maybe I missed an opportunity, or maybe he should not have told it. I'm not sure which one. But it's about one of your favorite subjects, which is Amazon and Amazon lockers. So now, I've used an Amazon locker before in San Francisco. I had... What was the reason? I think just because I wanted to try it out. But I had... So Casey's story on ATP this week, for those who don't listen to ATP or haven't listened yet, is that he had to return a stupid USB Ethernet dongle that required a kernel extension or something. And that's my advice to you, is exactly what Marco did as he was laughing, which is, if any piece of hardware for your Mac requires you to install special software instead of just plug it in, don't do that. Like, don't, really,
it's a bad idea.
Really, especially if it's like a dongle, an adapter for something standard. No, like, insist on the one that you can just plug in and use, because that's bad. So anyway, he needs to return it, and so he went to the Amazon locker and he told the story, and that was all there really was to it, although it went on much longer on ATP to the amusement of John and Marco. This is my Amazon locker story, which is first going to start with a little bit of a rant about Amazon. I don't know if you noticed this. Do you put things in your shopping cart? Do you put things in your shopping cart and leave them there? Like, yeah, maybe I'll get this later. I'm going to leave it in the shopping cart, but I'm not going to, you know, maybe you save it for later, or maybe you leave it in the shopping cart for a while. Do you do that?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So I did that with a movie with Spirited Away that we were going to watch for The Incomparable. Put it in the shopping cart. Didn't check out. I thought, well, I'm going to order some other stuff. I'll just leave it there. And then a couple days later, I was like, ah, Spirited Away. So I went to Amazon, searched for Spirited Away, found the Blu-ray, pressed add to cart and check out. What did Amazon do?
Oh, man. If this is what I'm thinking, the same exact thing happened to me, so I can join this club.
Amazon thinks that if you've got an item in your cart and several days later you go to that item on Amazon and add it to your cart, that what you really want to do is have two of them in your cart.
Yep. And I did this as well, not 2 weeks
and
ago.
And does not warn you, doesn't say, hey, you are buying two of the same thing at different times and probably don't want to do that. They're just like, yeah, okay, two. Little two in the box there, and you check out and you don't notice that it's two. And I think a lot of e-commerce systems do this, and I think it's a problem. I think that, I mean, I guess I know why they do it. Like, they want you to accidentally spend more money. I actually had this happen with, I want to say maybe the iPhone 10, but it might have been the HomePod. But I've had that happen to me a couple times on Apple, where I've gotten to the checkout screen and looked at the price and been like, whoa, what is happening? And it turns out, same thing. I ended up with two in my cart and didn't notice. So you got to pay attention. But I didn't pay attention for Spirited Away. Made the order, get two copies of Spirited Away. I'm like, all right, I want two copies of Spirited Away. So I go to Amazon's website, and they say, why are you returning one of your copies of Spirited Away? Is it defective in some way? And I didn't say it was defective. And so basically I said it was my fault, which means that they charge you for the return, which really annoys me, because it's their fault for having bad UI.
I have an asterisk to this, but go
okay.
on.
So I need to return it. And then this is where it's like Casey, where it says you can print out a UPS label and put it in a box and give it to the UPS guy, or go by the UPS store. And I actually have a UPS store right by my house. But one of the options was, or you can put it in an Amazon locker. And I thought, well, it's cool. I'm going to do that because it's fun. And this is like December 30th or something, 29th. Because I just want to try it out, because I write about this stuff and talk about this stuff. I wanted to try it out. First thing I discover is, as Casey did, they have you print a return label as if you're shipping it back. And you got to put it in a box, which is kind of dumb, because it's in the Amazon locker. I should be able to, like, tape the piece of paper to it and just stick it in the box. But no, you got to put it in a box like you're shipping it back. So it's already lost its luster for me, because at this point I literally could have just, I have to get to the locker, I have to walk past the UPS store. Okay, so
right,
there's
right.
No reason for me to do this, and I can walk to the UPS store from my house. All right, oh wait, it's too late. It's in like the box of the envelope it came in, and I tape it up and I put the thing on it, and it says you know, here's the Amazon locker near you. Now I have a Whole Foods within walking distance. That's where the Amazon lockers are. And the lockers mm-hmm. went in recently. And so when mm-hmm. when I thought about this, I was like, well, this is cool. I can do this at my local Whole Foods, which has the lockers right on the outside. So I get the label and I get it ready to go. And I mean to take it over there, and I haven't walked over there. So on New Year's Day, was it? No, I'm going to take it back. I think this was Christmas Day. It was Christmas Day. So it was a holiday. And we have friends on Christmas Day. We hadn't been here for many years on Christmas Day, but the last two Christmases we've been here. And they famously do a party on Christmas Day. People come over to their house in the sort of like from 11 o'clock on, and they have a little party. It's nice. So you do your family stuff at home, and then we walk over and chat with some people and have some beer and some cheese or whatever. It's nice. Well, on the way to their house is the Amazon locker. So I bring my little package with me, and my whole family walks over there. As we're walking by the locker, I put in the code, and it says, I don't recognize this code. I think, what is going on here? And then I look at it, and it says, even though the Amazon interface was like, here's the locker near you, or here are choices of lockers near you, Mill Valley has two Whole Foods, and apparently I picked the other one. So at this point, I'm holding a package, and we're walking to a party. And I say, this is dumb. I gotta take it back home. And so Jamie and I turned around and we said, well, we're gonna drive over to the other locker and drop it off and then drive to the party. So we do. And we drive over. It's Christmas Day. We're in the Whole Foods parking lot of the other Whole Foods, which is empty because it's not open on Christmas Day, because who would be in the Whole Foods parking lot on Christmas Day? Guess what? Amazon locker at the other Whole Foods is inside.
Wow.
So again, I could have just taken it to the UPS store if I had known that they were gonna charge me the same either way, and I was still gonna have to box it up. I could have just done that, but it was like, oh no, it'll be fun. So we drove to the party. I left the envelope in the car, and there's a time window. So like the next day on January 2nd, I drove over to Whole Foods and parked and walked in, and the little thing pops open, and I put it in there, and then close the door, and it credits my credit card for the return, and I'm done. And it was really stupid and a bigger waste of time, and some of it is my fault and some of it is Amazon's fault. But I just had that moment where I thought, all in the name of convenience, in big quotation marks, I have been on this complete wild goose chase. So what I'm saying is, hey, Amazon lockers, okay.
So I've had this happen to me twice in the past 6 weeks or so. Once I ordered the wrong thing. You know, I was trying to buy a new little soap dish for my sink in the kitchen, and I got the wrong thing. So I was like, all right, that's on me, whatever. And I went to return it. And I had the same experience of like going and looking at like, okay, so you can take the UPS store, you can take the Amazon locker. Most of the Amazon lockers near me, I couldn't even take it to because they were full. But I also noticed there was this one location. It's like, hey, if you take it, you know, if you take it to the Amazon locker or the UPS store, we'll charge you like $6 or $7. And there was one location. It's like, if you take it here, it's free. And I'm like, what is the deal with that? So I'm like, well, I'll save $6 or $7. So I chose that. Turns out that over on the Boston University campus, which is a couple miles from me, there is an Amazon like storefront.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I've seen those. If you take it there, you can just like put it through a little, you know, flap, right? Like go in the mail, the post office, and you just put it through, and it like you walk out, and that's it. So I was like, all right, sure. So I did that. It was fine, other than the fact that it was right after it had snowed a bunch, and finding a park space was a little tricky, and it's not the most convenient place for me to go. But it worked. And then I had a similar problem where I basically bought two of a thing for the exact same reasons you described. Uh-huh. I was like, I don't need two copies of this board game. And so I did the same thing. And fortunately, at least that location is over near my doctor's office. And I had a doctor's appointment coming up. So I was like, oh, great. I'll just combine those things. So that worked okay. But what is interesting, I mean, like, my girlfriend had to return something that she bought. And that was legitimately, it was legitimately broken or something they had screwed up. And so that one is free. Like, she could go to a locker and return it for free because it was on Amazon. I assumed that when I return stuff like you, I picked, like, this isn't defective. It's just like, yeah, that's on me. I bought the wrong thing. And so it wanted to charge me. But I thought it was very interesting that they were like, if you drive it over to this one Amazon storefront, you can return it for free. I assume because there's somehow the shipping, it's like we're going to be shipping stuff back and forth anyway.
Yeah, they're going to put it in a big box with all the other little boxes and ship it where it needs to go. I don't know.
One would think that's not that different from the lockers, right? But
the trend. Yeah. So that was the Amazon storefront's at a university, you said. At BU?
Yeah, it's right across from BU.
So we were down a couple weekends ago in Irvine in Orange County, Southern California, and we were at this shopping center. It used to be pretty sleepy, but the owners of it have completely leaned into the fact that it is across a little overpass bridge from UC Irvine. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like most of the spaces in it are like, it's almost like a food court. Like, most of the spaces are restaurants, and then there's a big center section where you can sit. I think it wasn't really designed to be a food court so much, but it's become that. There used to be like a comic book store there and like a Japanese gifts store and stuff, and those are almost all now that, you know, there's like Korean barbecue and Japanese and Chinese and sandwiches, and there's lots of stuff there. So, and we were there at pizza place. We were there for lunch, right? And I noticed that on one side there was nothing. It was just a storefront. It was not a restaurant or something. And I looked closer, and it was an Amazon storefront. And I was like, that is so mm-hmm. weird. Like, what's in there? And then I thought, and the BU thing reinforces it, which is, if you're Amazon and you want to reach college students, they probably don't want or can't get their stuff delivered to their dorm easily, right? And if college mailboxes are like they used to be, it's like a little tiny thing, and then maybe there's a slip and you have to ask somebody for a box or what. But if we do a storefront,
I will speak to that. Like, when I was in college, Amazon was a thing just starting out. And I started getting it just starting out. I mean, like, this was the late 90s, early 2000s. So just starting out. And that was the point at which you really started, like, people were starting to order things online, period, right? And you're totally right. Like, the mailboxes were intended for letters.
Yeah, campus.
And so you had to go.
Campus post offices were not capable of handling a large section of parcel deliveries, right?
So, like, I would go, you would get a slip, and you would go in and, like, have to wait and talk to the person who was there, and if it was off hours or whatever, you couldn't get it, and all that junk. But yeah, they couldn't cram a box in your little mailbox.
Nor were they
going
to bring it to your dorm room or whatever, right?
No, God, I went to a nice school, but not that nice
a
school.
That would be, imagine. That's more of a Harvard kind of thing.
That's
anyway,
when they bring it to you on the silver salver.
Yes, your Amazon box, sir.
Your package, sir.
So this totally makes sense on that level, right? Where somebody at Amazon was like, here's
absolutely.
What we do. We set up a storefront right off campus, and we make it super convenient for anybody who wants to order stuff to just pick it up at our storefront. And then, you know, and it's like the whole thing is a big Amazon locker. And that's pretty clever. So that's interesting. I'm just really, again, what a chain of events that I had. But
it's been interesting watching this evolution of Amazon, because I went from this period where, you know, I'd order stuff on Amazon and it would get delivered, and, you know, UPS would come around and deliver a package. And then for a while there, like early part of last year, I feel like maybe a little bit before that, I would get these white vans with Amazon logos coming around delivering things. And I was like, that's interesting. Amazon really seems to have, like, trying to control the whole, you know, shipping end of things as well. Obviously, they do a bunch of that. So maybe they're considering building out sort of a fleet to deliver stuff. And then that tapered off. And what we get now is people driving around in their cars, kind of like Uber, but for delivering packages. And so you'll get people show up.
Oh, yeah.
I kid you not. People show up
in
their cars.
Yeah, it's just like some dude wearing in his like car.
Wearing like a yellow safety vest thing. And like, and you look at it and it's like half the time it's like their back of their car is just chock-a-block with Amazon boxes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I don't, disturbing might be too strong a word, but it definitely makes you feel a little like, this is weird, right? And it's not that I'm worried about the like it being sketchy or something. It's more that seeing the way that Uber especially is, you know, reputed to deal with their drivers, it doesn't make you feel good about that relationship. And I don't know. I have not heard anything specific about like how Amazon handles that, but Amazon has had its own challenges with like people in working in their warehouses and stuff in terms of, you know, strenuousness of work, hours that they work, sort of like morale, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, whenever you feel like they're kind of trying to find a way to make an end run and pay less, makes you feel like, you know, the work that they're farming out here is probably not paid super well. But I don't know, like, and I feel like I've even seen clearly cases where, people, these independent contractors, or whatever, have like rented trucks and vans so that they can clearly deliver more packages. And it's like, it's clear. I would hope they did the math there at some point. It was like, well, I can deliver way more packages and I can offset how much I have to pay to rent this car for the day or whatever. But it is odd, and I don't know how to feel about it.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, we're out of trucks. We've just started hiring Uber drivers or Lyft drivers or taxi drivers to just kind of like take our boxes around, because we're out of ideas right now. We don't have, or we're experiencing
we're waiting for our drones,
or we're experiencing, you know, a surge or something. Like, it's fascinating. It's all fascinating. I just get the ones that I think are cool, and it doesn't happen with all my Amazon packages, but with a lot of my Amazon packages, it's now all tied in with their network, where I will literally get, I'll hear the box hit the front step, and then within a minute, I get a push notification from the Amazon app saying my package was delivered.
Have you got one with a picture yet? That one weirded me out.
No.
I got one. I was away. It was when I was doing the MIT mystery hunt a few weeks ago, and I ordered something, and my phone buzzed while I'm over at MIT, and there was a picture attached to it, and I swiped it, and it's a picture of the box at my door. And I was like, why? Why? Like, I understand you want me to, like, hey, it's delivered, we're vouching for it, but it's like, nothing stops that. Like, if you're worried about that, like, person stealing stuff off your porch, like, nothing stops them from taking a picture and then taking the box with them, right? Like, that doesn't actually provide any sort of, you know, sense of security or what have you. But it was really weird. I have not seen that since. I wonder if that was just like a weird, like an A-B testing thing where they were like, well, we'll try this out. We'll see how people do it.
That it's like a deliverer option if they need to specify where they left it, in case it's kind of confusing about, you have a bunch of different options for, you know, I don't know. My house doesn't really work like that. There's the front door and you just leave it there.
Right.
It's not that complicated.
Occasionally, I think about having people put stuff on like our back porch or whatever.
Right.
But honestly, I like, the only place this comes up for me is with the, so I'm, you know, as you are, I assume, waiting on a HomePod to show up next week.
My credit card got charged yesterday. I got the alert for that. That was funny.
I have not gotten mine yet, but who knows how they go through these things. Anyways, mine's supposed to show up next Friday. I will be out of the country. So, fortunately, like, my landlord is usually around, and he will presumably take it and put it in like our back hall or something like that. But I worry sometimes about ones that, like, you know, require signatures. And sometimes you can like pre-sign for things. Like online, you can go to Apple's site or UPS's site and be like, yeah, it's cool, just leave it. But it's weird because the things they require you to sign for sometimes are bizarre. Like, I ordered for Christmas, I ordered an Apple TV and an iPad for my my parents, and they delivered the iPad, no questions asked, and then they made me sign for the Apple TV, and I'm like, this is so much less valuable than the iPad. Why? What is the logic there?
I had the same thing, and I feel like we had this conversation before, but it's a pretty funny one, where, like, I've literally had computers left at my front door, ordered from Apple, And then once I ordered an adapter and had to sign for it. An adapter, like Dongletown came to my house and said, here's a $10 dongle, or no, it's Apple, it's $20 dongle, please sign. We can't leave this.
That was a valuable dongle. That was in high demand.
But the iPad, they just throw the box, slide it along the concrete.
iPads are
whatever.
They're a dime a dozen. Yeah, it is bizarre, and I can't figure out the rhyme and reason behind it. It is definitely it's such an arcane. The interface always between digital and physical realms is one of those things that I find fascinating. It's like some of those things where you step back a little bit and take a look at like systems that obviously have existed for a long time, and you think about the efficiency of rolling it out. Like every once in a while, I think about every day there's a person who walks to every single house in the neighborhood and puts stuff in a physical box attached to your house. And it's like, that seems wildly inefficient, mm-hmm. and it's amazing that it works. But, you know, in an age of email and all that stuff, it seems nuts to have somebody walk to every single house. Every single one! I marvel at it. It's fascinating.
I had my first experience with same day. I think they must have just turned that on in the last few months in my area.
And it only it's some things sometimes. Yeah. Well, I bought a Sonos last year, same day, because like I was waffling and it's like, we could have it to you by tonight. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, it was something like that. It was something I had, because obviously it has to be in their local warehouse for this to work. And so it only offers it for some things. And it was something that I was buying. And, I literally did not need it at any point. It was fine. Like, I could have gotten in 5 days and it would have been fine. But they're like, we'll give it to you for free today. Right. And I thought to myself, sure. Okay, again, like the lockers. It's like, all right, Amazon, let's see what this is like. And the answer is at like 8 o'clock at night, much later than any other package delivery that I tend to get. There was a little envelope outside my front door that was the thing that I had ordered that morning. That's cool, I guess.
Yeah. Sure.
There's the whole set of like the tiers. Actually, this is related to that. We were talking about Blue Apron the other, like last night, because we were on a little run of boring Blue Apron meals. I've had it for like mm-hmm. almost 3 years now, and I'm happy that we have it. And it's sometimes a sponsor on podcasts that I do. But this week's were really uninspired. And some of this is our own fault because we don't want pork and we don't want fish, and so we end up with really limited choices sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I was saying to Lauren about how I wonder how this is going to go, where what Blue Apron really is ingredient sets and recipes. Like, that's all it is. And Amazon owns Whole Foods, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know other supermarkets have experimented with this too, this idea of like a meal club or meal planning or something like that, where you could literally go to your Safeway or whatever, and if you're in the club and you picked your meals, like there's just a box there that they give you, and then you buy your other groceries, but you've kind of like done your meal planning based on their recipes, and they've already, collected all the ingredients for you. And that's great, because I think our number one reason we use Blue Apron is meal planning, that it gives us two meals a week that just show up and we make them, and we don't have to get all the ingredients and all that. They're just there. It's very convenient.
Right.
But, Blue Apron has to build this whole infrastructure their own, and Amazon just owns it. And, your local supermarket also kind of owns it. And I thought, would I try a service that literally is like, here are 5 meal suggestions or 10 meal, like a meal planning service where you could pick any number of meals based on their recipes and have it delivered to you? Like, that's basically what Blue Apron is. But it comes from Amazon, and it's essentially coming from my local Whole Foods. And I just pick it up at Whole Foods, or they just bring it over. Like, they could walk it over, frankly.
Right.
Yeah, I would consider that. Yeah.
I started thinking about this when the Amazon Whole Foods acquisition went through, and I would be shocked if this is not a like a widespread Amazon thing,
right?
Within like a year and a half. Like, I would be shocked, because there's no, why wouldn't you? They have, like you said, they have all the pieces.
It's one thing to do the Webvan thing, right? Which is, if for those who remember Webvan back in the day, that was the first company to do this, and you can still do this. I can do this from my local Safeway, where a guy comes from the supermarket with all my groceries.
I've done that
a couple of times. We did that when we had when one of our kids was little. We did that might have been Webvan actually back in the day, and then I've done it a couple times just to try it out. It's okay, but I'm not sure it takes any less time to sit on a web browser and click through every single thing and then wait and then have it delivered and then put it away than it does to just go to the store and get what you want.
But you've seen like the have you been in the stores and seen the Instacart brigades?
Oh, that are filling the
Yeah, like, I mean, similar things, right? Where it's like, you don't have time to go shopping because you are a busy person with a life to live. And so you basically pay somebody to do your shopping for you. It's like the same thing, but like, instead of you giving them a list, they just, you pick a meal.
Yeah, so that's what I think is like the next generation of this is not, let me write down all of my ingredients for all of my meals and all of that. And that would be a nice feature if you could just put in like make your own meal and pick all the ingredients that go in it and save it as a preset. For all I know, they do that now. I honestly don't know where you could actually like put in your faves and just then all you ever do is say, this week I want to have this and this and this, and it just assembles it all. But if they are, then the cost to them is essentially paying a group of chefs, basically recipe builders, who are aware of what ingredients are in the stores and are able to do that. And like, well, that's totally doable for them. And I would really like, that's kind of cool. Because we cook our own meals. We don't eat things out of frozen boxes or something like that. We always do that. Right. But to have that diversity in the meals with not having to pick ingredient by ingredient and make a list like that. That's really interesting. Amazon could do that with Whole Foods for sure.
Whole Foods kind of does it already in the sense that they have like circulars and stuff, which have recipes in them. Like they employ people who build recipes as it is.
Right.
So it's not that far a leap to be like, build a recipe of something that could be delivered, or build a recipe, like 3 or 4 more recipes and offer them as package. Like, everything is there. The linkages just haven't been made, which is why I think I'm not sure that Whole Foods would have done that on their own, right? But with Amazon behind them, they have the rest of the infrastructure they need to get stuff to people, because that was going to be sort of the last mile thing for Whole Foods was, it's fine if you want to come. And like, they make prepared foods too, right? Like,
you can
go in and buy a meal.
I've had that. Like, I've had lunch at Whole Foods every now and then put some mac and cheese and some other stuff in a box and they weigh it.
and I've bought stuff from, they have like a little like refrigerator of prepared foods, right? Like, we made a lasagna or an eggplant parmesan, something you can go home and stick in the oven.
Well, and here,
like,
and here it is.
These are all things.
There's the Whole Foods Market website. If you sign in, you can go to their menu, their recipes, and there's a big red add button to add all of the ingredients that are in the recipe to your shopping list. So, there you go. I mean, there's the Blue Aprons of the world do some things kind of in a nice way that, rather than it being like, well, I need a teaspoon of molasses here, you need to buy a jar with 8 ounces of molasses and you may never use the rest of it, right? They just send you a little plastic bottle or even like a little foil container of that thing, so that the ingredients are much more specific to the recipes, which is nice, because I've had that where I bought for a recipe a big bottle of something and then used none of it, which is really annoying.
Well, and Whole Foods already has its own in-house brand of stuff, right? So in theory, nothing stops it from basically repackaging. Like, you need, balsamic vinegar or whatever, like, we have our house, like, their 365 brand balsamic vinegar, we'll just crack open a bottle and fill a bunch of smaller bottles with it, right? Like, they control that end of it as well, so nothing would stop them from doing the Blue Apron style, we're going to meet stuff out into little individual servings and deliver
that. Other than what their profit margin is as a
exactly.
as a supermarket. Sure. But again, this is where Amazon comes in, where Amazon owning Whole Foods means that they start to look at the bigger picture of like, no. It's like, it's okay that over here, we're going to do a little more work and have a little lower margin, because what we're going to get is we're going to intercept this, you know, these staples that used to go to be bought from another store, and now they're completely in, you know, in your store for all of their meals, and right. you know, that's a different thing for them to look at. It's fascinating.
Sure.
It's not for everybody. I mean, everybody lives their lives different, but I can say, because some people do eat frozen things out of a box, and that's fine too. Like, I get it, but
I've done it from time to time.
For us, the challenge, especially with kids who like, my daughter's really busy in the evenings, and my wife's got some things in the evenings too, like, we're busy enough, and we have kids that who have their own like pickiness, and we have other like I said, we're not going to do a fish thing. It's not going to happen. Like, we have, there's enough going on in there that it's work to do meal planning, and it's work to get to the store and get all the ingredients, and when you get the free time to shop, and I think this is true for a lot of people, you get the free time to shop and you think, well, I've got the free time to shop, but I have no idea, you know, I'm not prepared to buy all the ingredients for all the meals I'm going to have this week,
right.
let's say. And that's happened to me a lot, where I go to the store and I'm like, I have no idea what we're having, and the recipes are at home, right? So it's interesting to see, like, I'm not, if you had asked me 5 years ago, would I sign up for an Amazon like service where a box shows up at my house with groceries in it and recipes for me to make a meal, I'd be like, that seems kind of weird. I think not. Amazon for groceries, no thank you. But that happened, and I'm very happy with it, actually, and it has really improved our the diversity of the meals that we eat. Like, our meals aren't as boring as they used to be, which is nice, but I could see them doing more.
You can't, I mean, you got to wait for the next step, which is, you know, the whole Amazon Key thing where they leave packages inside your house. They come in, they cook the meal for you, you get home, it's already laid out. That's just the next step, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's Amazon. I mean, this is on Download this week. We were talking about the, I don't know if you guys talked about it on Clockwise, the health initiative thing.
Oh, with Berkshire Hathaway and JP
Morgan.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we didn't really touch on that, but I was listening to somebody on the radio talking this morning. It might have been an interview on the Marketplace Tech with Molly Wood. And they were asking, like, someone about it. Like, how do you feel about this? He's like, well, normally I would be pretty against it. But frankly, the healthcare system feels like such a shambles right now that in some ways you're like, maybe they could do it better.
This is the classic thing about, like, tech companies wanting to disrupt things is... Right. Sometimes the disruption is just, let's blow this up, and what you're left with is rubble.
Right.
But sometimes you blow it up because it's a rotting building that nobody wants
to
be
saved.
In, and you need to blow it up and build something new. Like, that is also sometimes true. And so is the disruption itself always something that leads to a better outcome? No. But I look at something like the American healthcare system, and I think, like, it's not going great as it is, and what are the chances these guys can work it out? Maybe they're not great, but they got all the money. Take the chance.
Frankly, what are the chances they could make it worse?
Well,
I mean...
I would say very little. I mean, it's not... But then again, it depends on who you are. Because it might, the thing is, for the bad care that Americans get and the amount of money that goes into the healthcare system, somebody's getting a lot of money. And I don't know who is that? Is that the shareholders of hospitals? Is that doctors? Is that insurance companies? Is that bureaucrats? Who knows what it is? Maybe everybody has opinions, I'm sure. But yeah, take a shot. But so what was I was going somewhere with this for the Amazon thing, and now I've lost it completely. Sorry, podcast listeners. We were talking about it on Download about the disruption thing, though. So maybe I just got it out there. Like, let's give it a try. Like, Amazon. Oh, this is what I was going to say. Ben Thompson, I cited in that podcast, because he wrote a free stratechery piece about Amazon. And the thing that struck with me is something that he quoted, that is something he said on the Bill Simmons podcast a while back, which was, Amazon, and it's kind of a joke and it's kind of not, which is Amazon's goal is kind of to just skim a percentage off of all transactions in the economy.
Right. Right.
Like that yeah. simple. And the healthcare is whatever, you know, 15% of the economy. So that's a nice big chunk that Amazon isn't currently skimming. And that's kind of their model is just like, we're just going to take a little yeah. piece of everything. But when we talk about things like shopping and Whole Foods and meal services or their lockers or whatever, it's just, I see what they're doing, which is we can provide a little bit of grease to smooth things out, to make your life easier. And we skim off the top. And as a consumer, that's a pretty good deal for me. I get how it's not necessarily a good deal for other people, and that might lead society to bad places where the only jobs left are you can put boxes in the back of your car.
Well, this interview I was listening to, and I think I just caught it while I was waking up this morning, but they were also asking whoever they're interviewing, they're talking about, have you ever seen an example of this in American economic history, a company that wants to have their fingers in this many pies? And the best that the interviewee was like, well, the closest I can think of is like General Electric, right? Like
right.
in the middle 20th century. But like, yeah, there's Amazon has certainly become even more in some ways than Apple or Facebook. Like they all have their little realms, and Amazon dabbles in arenas that compete with the likes of Apple and Microsoft and Facebook. But I think Amazon's reach goes so much farther that people, you know, it's weird to look at. Like Amazon also released its financial results yesterday. And it's always interesting to compare those with Apple's, right? Because Amazon, quote unquote, makes much less money, right? Like they're not out there reporting, you know, $88 billion in revenue
exactly.
for a quarter, because they plow so much stuff like right back into their company.
Well, I mean, the revenue is revenue, though. Like it's not profit,
sure.
it's revenue.
And right.
Amazon
right.
famously didn't care about profit at all.
Profit,
now
right.
now
yeah,
it does
sure.
a little bit.
But it's fascinating, you know, to see how much farther Amazon extends without it. Like it doesn't, they have very different profiles, like as companies. And it's a really interesting comparison. Like even so far as, you know, you made fun of, you know, the Bezos charts again for, you know,
every quarter.
Yeah. Right. And like, you know, they said they sold tens of millions of Echo devices. But what's funny is like somebody pointed out, like they also say they've sold tens of millions of Kindles basically in like the 15 years or whatever they've been making them. So either those tens of millions, like either the Echo is selling roughly on par with the Kindle's all-time performance, or those tens of millions of Kindles are more like, maybe there's like 100 million Kindles and it's like, oh, there's still tens of millions of them. We're just not going to get any more specific. They're very different companies, even though people lump them together a lot. And I think it's interesting to see how they do business and where their areas of conflict come into play. And then where there are areas where it's like, you know, Apple doesn't even care about that. They're not going to get into that business. They're not buying a grocery store anytime soon.
Right. For the record, Apple's latest quarterly revenue number was $88
billion.
And Amazon's was $60 billion.
Okay, it was a all right.
So
it's mainly, I think, the
and profit though. Yeah, Amazon's profit was about
about
2 billion, a little less than 2 billion, and that's up from a lot of times where they would be like, you know, no,
they lost money.
Yeah, because they were putting it in other places, and their goal was not to throw off a profit. Whereas Apple at this point, quite honestly, is a machine that I don't think they could structure it so that they weren't profitable. And for this quarter, it was $20 billion in profit. Just cool, yeah. $20 billion in profit.
Sure, you know, like you do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm also reporting my quarterly earnings.
Okay,
let me check my wallet.
Can I get some more color on that wallet? What color is that?
It's a black wallet.
All right, that's good.
It has $10 or $15 in it. The currency headwinds have been tough. Let me tell
it's
you.
It's also literal headwinds because you have to walk.
The literal headwinds.
The wind.
It's very cold and windy here. Yeah. I had to walk through a hedge. I don't even. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
Commodities.
A hedge, you say? Wow, that is something. Are you sure it wasn't a bunch of ninjas pretending to be a hedge?
Just a hedge. Please move along.
All right. Okay. Well, I feel like we've solved a lot of problems today, Dan.
I feel like we've created some problems as well, and that's really good. I'd like to net out a little.
That's
bit
right.
There.
Well, we're not trying to make a profit here. We're just trying to break even and
trying to reinvest
in the business of the podcast. That's what we're all about. The Six Colors magazine did come out this week, by the way, with our fresh new. We should at least mention that to our dear subscribers. Fresh new column ideas that we made up that we're not entirely 100% committed to. It's like, you know, hopefully they work and we can. The whole idea is to just come up with a concept that we can repeat a little bit and kind of riff on over the course of the year. So
yeah, we've been doing the old ones for a couple of years, and I feel like we both felt like, well, we've said a lot of the things that we want to say
let's
in
move
these
on.
Frameworks. So. Try some other stuff. If you got more ideas, feel free to let us know. Yeah. We're open to suggestions.
Yeah, absolutely. But I like the... I was sitting there because you came up with yours first.
Let's not tell them how all the sausage is made. And like, we did a lot of research.
Yeah.
We put a lot of time and energy into this.
And then I had this idea for the applications folder of like literally spelunking through all the apps I've got installed and on my Mac and my iOS devices and finding ones that I can write a little bit about like, why do I have this? And I think some of those might be kind of like, this is a single purpose thing that is interesting. And others might be like, I don't know why I have this. I did while I was looking for a subject. I was like, why do I have this installed? I don't even... Some of the apps, I was like, I don't know what this app does. And I would launch it and I'd be like... Oh, many of them was like, I can't launch. I am not compatible with this version of the operating system. And I would do a Google search for it and I'd be like, oh, right. I like tried that out once and then just never deleted it. But then again, I had an app... I went to the App Store updates tab on my iPad yesterday, and one of the updates was for an app for a magazine that I have not subscribed to in 3 years. But apparently it has been socked away on the second page of a folder on the last page of my home screen, and I just never got around to deleting it. I deleted it last night. It's like, I'm not updating
it. Old apps never die, Jason. They just eventually lose compatibility and won't open anymore.
Yeah. That's what we call fading away. Yeah.
And a thing we like, which is basically exactly what it sounds like. I felt like we needed an opportunity to just talk about things, not necessarily new things, not necessarily technology things, but things that we enjoy and want to share with other people. Because I think people do seem interested from time to time in the non-tech stuff, right? Like we wrote or talked about tea a couple times, and people seem to respond well to that. In our annual lists for the holidays, we do like games, books, you know, that kind of stuff. So feel like a more of an ongoing basis of being able to talk about things that we enjoy in a variety of spheres could be fun. And it might be tech stuff too at times too, but it's just a broad set of options.
Yeah, it's I like that idea. It is, I was going to say, that's the tea column that people were asking about. It's like stuff we like. It could be about whatever. It could be about tea. And then, spelunking the software. And then, of course, Stephen Hackett, always in there. And then you've got your back page thing where you tell the jokes.
I heard the quotes.
You heard them? I did them.
I could hear them
jokes.
From here.
So-called jokes.
This one, you know, it always brightens my day whenever Stephen Hackett says in our personal Six Color Slack that he laughed at something from my column. It's like, I have no idea if people find them funny or not, and yet I keep writing them.
That's the perseverance we come to expect from you, Dan. Just keep trying. Keep grinding them out there.
You know what? You laugh or you don't laugh, but at least you probably read it, and it's short. How about that? The following story is full of jokes, but at least it's short.
Sounds good. All right. Thank you to everybody out there for subscribing to Six Colors. We appreciate it. You help keep the lights on here and let us do what we do. And you get that newsletter, so check it out. And you can always log in, by the way. People don't always know this. To the membership tab on the Six Colors website, you log in there. And you'll get an archive of all the past newsletters and the link to this podcast, which you're already listening to, so you probably already heard it. And some other stuff is in there, too. But you can always, like, get to old archives and find the feed links and all of that stuff by going there and logging in. So just remember that. And, that's it. Thanks again for listening. Bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.